A pan of tomato sauce sits on the back of a stove. You meant to keep it gentle. The phone rings, you turn away, and when you come back, the surface is heaving. Large, fast bubbles breaking with a slap, steam rising in a column, the whole pot in violent convection. Same sauce, same pot, same 5 more minutes. The result that comes off the burner is not the result you would have had if it had stayed where you wanted it. The flavor is flatter, the texture is rougher. The aroma that filled the kitchen has literally gone out the window. The 10-degree difference between simmer and boil is one of the most consequential temperature ranges in Western cooking, and one of the easiest to lose by accident. It helps to define the terms exactly. A simmer is a liquid held at roughly 85 to 95 Celsius, hot enough that small bubbles form on the bottom of the pot and rise lazily to the surface, but cool enough that the surface itself remains broadly calm, with only occasional ripples and the slow lift of vapor. A boil is a liquid that has reached 100 Celsius at sea level, the point at which water cannot get any hotter as a liquid, because additional energy goes into phase change instead of temperature. At a boil, the entire body of water is in continuous turbulent convection, bubbles forming throughout and breaking the surface violently. The visual cue is dramatic. The thermal difference is, on a thermometer, modest. The consequences for a sauce are enormous. Start with what violent agitation does mechanically. A sauce is, in most cases, an emulsion or a suspension, fat dispersed in water, or starch granules and proteins distributed through a liquid. These structures are held together by surface tension and by the work of emulsifiers. Boiling shears them. The bubbles rising at full convection physically tear droplets apart, throw them against the pot wall, and accelerate the recombination of oil into separate slicks. A béarnaise or a beurre blanc is destroyed almost instantly by a boil. The butter breaks out of suspension and the sauce splits. Even a tomato sauce, which has no dairy and seems robust, loses its body. Pectin chains shear, starch granules rupture too completely, and what should have been silky becomes grainy. Then there's what boiling does to aroma. Volatile compounds, the molecules responsible for the smell of basil, garlic, wine, browned meat, cooked onion, leave a liquid faster as temperature and surface agitation rise. At a simmer, aroma escape is slow, and the molecules remaining in the pot continue to react with each other, building complexity. At a boil, aroma leaves in a rush. The kitchen smells wonderful, the sauce increasingly does not. The principle is the same one that governs why steam and boiling water do opposite things to fish, and why reduction concentrates flavor only when controlled. The rate at which volatile molecules escape is the rate at which flavor is leaving the pot, and aggressive heat accelerates that escape without any compensating benefit. Stock making makes the difference visible. Boil bones and trimmings hard, and the resulting stock will be cloudy, brown, and slightly bitter, because violent agitation lifts proteins, fats, and fine particulates into suspension, instead of letting them coagulate and settle. Simmer the same bones at 90 degrees Celsius for the same number of hours, and the stock comes out clear, golden, and clean tasting, because the heat is enough to extract gelatin and flavor, but not enough to keep the impurities airborne. Auguste Escoffier was emphatic about this in La Guide Culinaire in 1903. A stock that boils is a stock that has been ruined, and the only correction is to start over. Modern French training still treats the rule as inviolable, and the science vindicates it precisely. Boiling is not wrong, it is simply wrong for sauces and stocks. There are situations where boiling is exactly the technique called for. Pasta water needs full boil, because pasta surfaces require rapid starch gelatinization, which only the convection of a true boil delivers evenly. At a simmer, the noodles cook unevenly and stick together. Blanching vegetables requires a hard boil, because the entire point is fast heat transfer into a thin food, brief contact, then arrest by ice. Reducing a thin liquid to a glaze, when no dairy or emulsion is present, can be done at a boil to save time. The technique is a tool. The question is which tool for which job. Modern molecular gastronomy has pushed this distinction into territory the classical kitchen could not measure. Hervé Thys, the French chemist who founded the field with Nicolas Curdy, has argued for thinking about cooking in terms of specific target temperatures rather than visual heuristics. A sauce held precisely at 95 degrees Celsius behaves differently from one held at 92 degrees Celsius, and the difference is repeatable and meaningful. Sous vide cookery is the kitchen's adoption of this idea. temperature as the controlled variable, time as the consequence. The point is not that classical visual cues are wrong. The point is that they were always approximations of an underlying thermodynamic reality that we can now measure directly. The classical French sauce rule survives all of this intact. Never let a finished sauce reach a boil after butter or cream has been added. The butterfat breaks, the cream proteins curdle, the emulsion that took 20 minutes to build comes apart in 30 seconds. The cook's job after the dairy goes in is to hold the pot below the threshold, not above it. This is not folklore. It is the same physics that makes a beurre blanc difficult and a hollandaise tense. Emulsions are metastable, and convection is their enemy. There are several views on this. Modern molecular gastronomy uses precise temperature control, holding sauces at calibrated set points with circulators and probes. Classical training uses visual cues, small bubbles only, no rolling surface, a slight curtain of steam rather than a column. Both approaches work. My view is that an instant read thermometer dipped into the sauce ends the debate before it starts. Take a reading once, watch the surface at that reading. Take a reading again at what you think is a boil, watch the surface again. After a few calibration runs, you will know your stove and your pot by eye, and the thermometer becomes a backup rather than a crutch. The eye is the final instrument. The thermometer is what teaches the eye what it is looking at. If you take only one thing from this, the 10 degrees between simmer and boil is not a small difference rounded off by the recipe. It is the difference between a sauce held together and a sauce flying apart. Find the lower temperature, keep it there, and let the eye learn what that looks like in your own kitchen.